We want to head out and be joined by a buddy of mine from Baseball America, Kyle Glazer, nice enough to join us on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Doing all right, John. How are you?
Doing well. I was just telling our listening audience a little while ago, you were out here a few weeks ago. You watched little Padres, and you went up to the Boris Baseball Classic. Some pretty good talent up there again this year.
Absolutely. Southern California is always a hotbed for talent, and we've got some local guys in San Diego who are projected to go pretty good in the draft. Keone Cavaco down at East Lake High School, Chris Murphy, lefty at USD. There's always a lot of talent in Southern California, and I like to try and see it as well as, you know, everything going on at the major league level.
Hey, Kyle, with Spencer Jones, the young man up at La Costa Canyon, having a problem with his elbow. He had a fractured elbow and had to miss the remainder of the year. What is that going to do to his draft status from the scouts you've talked to?
So there's a sense that teams still really are interested in him just because he's such a tremendous talent. It's hard to say he's going to be a first rounder anymore just because teams want some certainty in that spot, and he's someone that at the beginning of the year looked like he could have been a potential first rounder. Around the industry, there's a sense that he's probably fallen out of that range, but you never know. All it takes is one team. But there's still a sense that he's still got a chance to go somewhere in the top 100 picks just because there is such an interest in his ability. You know, 6'7", athletic, can reach, you know, 90-93, and also is a pretty good hitter, is a pretty rare skill set to have. Now, another factor is going to be he's committed to Vanderbilt. Depending on the signing bonus, where that matches up, that will obviously also affect where exactly he gets drafted. But on talent alone, there's still some teams very interested in him in the top 100 picks.
You mentioned Keone Cavaco, the third baseman down at East Lake High School. Missed really a big chunk of his junior year and then had a great season, a winter ball in the Scouts League. And, boy, he's really picked up a lot from pro ball clubs. I heard they're all over him right now.
They are. There are teams sending in, you know, the high-ranking scouting directors, the cross-checkers, all the big boys are going in to see him. And there are a few teams who think he might go as high as the end of the first round. And if not there, then the compensation round between the first and second and maybe the early second round. He's really put himself on the map, you know, coming into the year. He really was not a guy that teams were, you know, super duper, you know, high on as far as, oh, this guy's going to get drafted. He was committed to San Diego State, and he's really just taken his game up a notch and put himself on the radar.
And we'll talk more about the draft as we get a little bit closer. It'll be in early June. Kyle, I want to move over to the Padres a little bit. A lot of moving parts with this organization right now. Most of it very good, but the other day they had to send down Luis Urias after a real tough start for him. Only 2-for-24, hitting under 100. You know, your thoughts on Urias, where he's at now, where you think he can be, you know, later this season or in the coming seasons?
I mean, he still projects to be, you know, an everyday second baseman for the future. Very clearly, you know, Andy Green and the Padres management group has been open about it. He just was never really in rhythm. You could see it watching him. He had the hamstring injuries in spring training that kind of set him back a little bit. There is a sense among evaluators that he has plateaued a little bit. Back when he was an 18-year-old winning MVP of the California League, there were people who thought at the time, hey, this guy has a chance to, you know, contend for batting titles at his peak, Placido Polanco type, that number two hitter and a championship caliber older, and you know, again, hit 300 plus and is at his best years. Now there's a sense Urias might be more in that Marco Scudero range, which is more that number eight hitter, bottom of a lineup, hit 280, good player. Scudero did make one all-star game, but not necessarily a cornerstone guy at the top of your lineup. But either way, there's a sense there's still a good player in there. It's just maybe he's plateaued a little bit. And you know what, though? He's still 21. I mean, he's a college junior age, and he's, you know, in the major leagues, or has been, I should say. So there's still a lot of promise there, a lot of hope. He's still the Padres' long-term second baseman of the future. He just needs a little time to get his rhythm back.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining us on 97.3 The Fan, the SDCCU fan hotline. Ty France off to just an unbelievable start right now, Kyle. Down in El Paso, Triple-A baseball, hitting .423, already has 9 homers, 28 RBIs. They've been working him out and playing him a little bit at second base. Your thoughts on that, and do you think the Padres are close to calling him up?
He certainly put himself in the conversation, especially when you consider Ian Kinsler isn't exactly tearing the cover off the ball either at second base. And if the Padres are serious about taking a step forward this year, they can't have lineup holes like they've had in previous years. Look, France has always hit. San Diego State, he hit, you know, every year he was there. He kind of had a draft day fall, but the Padres still signed him and gave him a decent bonus for being as late a pick as he was. And he's always hit. The questions about France have always been his athleticism, where he's going to play. You know, he's a, depending on the scout you talk to, either below average to fringy at third base, you know, average-ish at first base. You know, he's not necessarily the most versatile guy, but he can hit. And the more reps he gets at second base, the better he's going to get. And, you know, if unless Ian Kinsler turns it around, or, you know, if Luis Urias goes back to AAA and the struggles continue a little bit, someone's going to have to step up and take that spot, and Ty France has certainly put himself in position.
Kyle, what are you hearing on Anderson Espinosa right now and Nelson Lamet?
It's kind of all quiet on the Espinosa front, just because he was set to potentially go back out to Lake Elsinore end of April, early May, kind of similar to what Chris Paddock did last year. Espinosa, that was the last update I got. Now Espinosa left a spring training outing kind of early, and there hasn't really been any word on that, what's going on there. So not 100%. It's something that we're going to continue to monitor and see. And Lamet is, last I checked as well, just kind of working his way back from Tommy John surgery. He had it, you know, April or so of last year, so it's not like he was going to be back at the start of the season. The timeline would be for him to come back mid to late this year, assuming no setbacks. And again, with Tommy John surgeries and recoveries, you just have to kind of see how they play out. You know, trying to make bold predictions about exactly when someone will be back, it's tough to do because it's such a long process at so many different points. Something can go awry. So just got to kind of wait it out and see what happens.
The Padres kind of surprised all of us a couple of weeks ago when they brought in Pedro Avila, and he pitched so well against Arizona. And it seemed like he kind of, you know, jumped over Logan Allen, who was a Texas League Pitcher of the Year last year. And when he did that pitch in the postseason in AAA, did a very nice job, and Cal Quantrill as well. How far away is Quantrill and Logan Allen from being in this big league rotation, you think?
Well, Quantrill's been pitching pretty well in El Paso. He really was strong these last two starts this past week. Allen had a bit of a rough beginning, but I think he also had a pretty good most recent start. They'll get their shot some point this year. Some of it's going to be what they do, but also some of it's just going to be what happens at the big league rotation around them. If, you know, Margavish's starts running into trouble, if, you know, Paddock's innings just needing to be managed, they want to give him a little breather. You know, none of this happens in a vacuum. It's not like, ooh, Cal Quantrill is ready on its own. I mean, it's gonna depend also what's happening above him, the Padres rotation. So they'll be up, but again, it's gonna be whether it's injuries, whether someone needs a breather, and whether that's in 2 weeks or a month, it's hard to really say definitively.
Hey, Kyle, I'll get you out of here on this one. You know the Padres, the farm system up and down, and we know about obviously what Tatis Jr. is doing at the big league level. We know where Urias right now falls in line. Who's maybe somebody we don't know and the fans ought to be keeping their eye on if they go to Baseball America's website or just, you know, wanting to know more about the minor leagues of the Padres? Is there a name that we don't talk about that you really like and think might not be all that far away?
There's two bats up at Lake Elsinore that are very, very interesting, and we're off to hot starts. Luis Camposano, the catcher, was swinging the bat really, really well. He just went on the injured list, but there's a really potential good hitter in there, and a really good defender as well behind the plate. And then Tyrus Sorenelis, you know, big left-handed power hitter, signed out of Mexico a few years ago, has really impressed the Padres organization since day one he showed up, and he just continues to grow into his body, get bigger, get stronger, fine-tune his swing. The Padres haven't really had a big left-handed power threat since Adrian Gonzalez left. Ornelas might be the guy who can fill that role for them. You know, whether it's probably more 2 years than the next year, but there's a really potential impact bat, and both those guys, you just drive up the 15 to Elsinore and get a look at them. There's something there with both of those guys.
Hey, Kyle, as always, thanks so much for the time. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, John.
There you go. Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining on the SDCCU fan hotline. You can nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big banking. It's better.